I'm really looking at the resurrection. You talked about the resurrection for quite some time. And you have been also. You've done songs about the resurrection. And it's only fair that we begin to study about it and get this fact. So, the resurrection. But for today's introduction, I'm just going to give an introduction. Today's introduction, we want to look at the case for the resurrection. The case for the resurrection. The case for the resurrection. Are we good? So why are we looking at the resurrection? We're looking at the resurrection because the Christian faith, the facts about it, the reality about it, rely on this foundation. I repeat again, why are we looking at it? Because the Christian faith, which we call our faith, alright? You say, I'm born again. Why are you born again? Because I'm a Christian. Why are you a Christian? Because I'm a follower of Christ. The fact. All the facts, because when you're telling someone your faith, they are facts to it. And then the reality. Because it started from being a promise, and then it became a reality. Now, all those things rely on this foundation called resurrection. Are we together? That means that without it, all the other doctrine or teaching, because doctrine means teaching, but all the other doctrines in the Bible or teachings in the Bible and the new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if any man be in Christ, remember that, he is the new creation, all things are passed away, and all things have become new. So, the new creation, without the resurrection and all the doctrines and teachings, are not true and do not exist. So, without this foundation of the resurrection, are we together? Even the new creation is not true, and we may conclude they don't exist. They are just stories made up. They are myths. It could actually be true, like someone says, the things of God are mystical. If the resurrection is out of the picture, this thing of saying I'm a new creation, you are lying to yourself and you're lying to everyone because it doesn't exist. Are we together? Therefore, it makes everything questionable. Alright? That the prophet and the apostles and Jesus said. So if this foundation is a myth, it's not there, then we can only come to this conclusion that everything is questionable. What the prophets have said, what the apostles have said, and what Jesus has said. Have you ever had someone tell a lie once And they begin to say, I'm not sure whether the other things you've been telling me are true. I don't trust in you because this big lie you told me. What about the other things? Because you begin to question their loyalty. You begin to question their trust. You begin to question their authenticity. You begin to question your relationship with them. Now, if someone came up and said, what in this direction? You step back and say, are we in the cards? Have we been wasting our time? All this time. I've been showing someone who's trying to stretch, trying to paint the picture and say, if two people are on earth, one believes and one didn't believe, and all of them die, if the resurrection is true, the one who did not believe is in trouble, because now it's true. Now the other one who believed and they die and they find out it's not true, what do you do? So you see. So without the resurrection, everything begins to be questionable. We start to really wonder, is this really true? Here, by the way, the other thing they said, you start connecting the dots and start questioning everything. And that's why it is the foundation for the doctrine, and even the not just experience, but the reality of the new creation, then you need to find out why. Because if you're not careful, you begin to question. That's why when people are hurt by the church system, they start to question the church. You know what I'm saying? The church, you know, church because the system hurts them. So if the resurrection is, there's a question mark about it, then you start to question, is the church there anyway? You start questioning things like, is the Spirit of God there anyway? Even these kind of things are true. Maybe they are fabricated. Maybe they are human beings. So everything begins to what? To be questioned. And that's why it will be good to put this text forth. Is the resurrection a reality? If it's a reality, how? Why? When? Who? Why? Because you see that your whole faith, leave alone your whole faith, your whole life, and those that are going to follow you after, are around you. On this earth. Praise the Lord. In Matthew 16, let's go there, verses 18. There are big statements that are written in the Bible that you cannot ask questions once the statements are put out. One of the statements made by Jesus in Matthew 16 and verse 18 says, And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So what build there? Meaning to establishes, but to like, if you have a tent, you begin to stretch it. Alright? So he says, I will build my church. Remember church? The called out one. Mm-hmm. Alright? I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell in some of your translations, shall not prevail against it. Someone have the Amplified Bible?
And he says, and I tell you, Peter, speak of book, and I tell you, you are Peter, Petros, the last piece of the rock, and on this rock, this Petra, I see rock like your God, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of infernal region shall not overpower it or be strong to its defiance. opened out of the womb.
Amen. Now we all know, we touched a little bit on it sometime way back. This scripture is not present continually. That the gates of hell are present continually, not going to prevail. Now this scripture passed at the resurrection. Jesus is not fighting the devil every day for you to win. The gates of hell lost once and for all when Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? So this is a powerful statement, or a powerful scripture from the mouth of Jesus, that I will bear the charge, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against that charge. Meaning that either on the offensive that will prevail, or on the defensive, Satan cannot. Satan will not. It is us, in our own ignorance, that have given Satan too much power or too much influence. But according to the scripture, he says, and the gates of hell will do what? Will not. Not may not. No. Will not. Prevail. Let me throw out this one. I like doing that most of the time. Confuse me a little bit. Get your mind thinking. Not confusing, but get your mind thinking. Do you know that Satan cannot predict what you know? Do you know that Satan can only know what you do by observing what you say and the steps you take? I hope you know that. Give an example. Why did Herod tell the wise men, if you find the place, if Satan is there, I mean, just follow him and find out? But he didn't know. He doesn't know where the child is. So you go, and when you find where the child is, you come and tell me. Now, to make matters worse, even when they left, and they had given him a key where they are going, couldn't people have killed everyone? You see how Satan, how limited he is. We are the one. Every time he starts praying, he starts walking. Your footsteps. That's Paul. Even angels are directed by what he says. Remember in 1 Corinthians, where the Bible says, have they not tested that one? That one is a man. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, 3. Chapter 3. Are we there? 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Oh. No. 1 Corinthians. Sorry. Chapter 2. And verse 6. He says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. Mark the language, not as the mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. Not as a mystery. Okay? Then it says, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the agent for our glory. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. Which the rulers of this age did not know. Because had they known what would happen, come on, at the resurrection, they would not have killed. Because the enemy conspiring the Jews and the Romans behind it or the Gentiles thought, kill Jesus and we are done. But killing Jesus would then lead to many other sons into glory. Now, have they known, they will not have come. But that to show you that the devil is very limited. Very limited. He's very limited. You will give him too much power. Too much power. Too much credit for what he has not done. Are you here? So, going back to what Jesus said, the death of hell will not prevail. So, if the resurrection is not to them, but why did Jesus say? So now you begin even to question Jesus. Because how could he say that the church will be chosen? And people nowadays, especially those who are in the aid world, make very, very silly, very unrealistic comments. They say, if I was God, I would not use the church. Look at the church. It is weak. They are not reading the scripture. If you just go back to that same chapter, okay? That same chapter, chapter 1. Okay, let's go back. Okay, let's go to chapter 1. And let me read for you. From verse 18, we plan to read these verses, but it's important as well. For laying the foundation to go all the way. Because they say the church is so weak. Look at the church. Look at the appearance. Look at the state of the church. They are not reaching out. They are not giving to the community. If the church is giving to the community, you know, the government is doing much more than the church. Very silly. And they mostly come from the West. Yeah, I mean the West. The West. Verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through wisdom, did not know God, it pleased God, through the foolishness of the message, to save those who believe. So, you see, through what we call foolishness, look at the task. The name of God is just be saved by you speaking in tongues. Through what is foolish, that is what God chose to save the world. You look at the appearance of the church, but that's the weapon that God chose. Had they known, even right now, if they knew, they would not be fighting the church. Because the church is the body of Christ. And the church is what God has chosen to bring the most powerful message on the planet. Praise the Lord. So the church is not weak. Just because you look at it with your physical eyes and your physical interpretation doesn't mean that the church is weak. The church is strong. Very, very strong. Actually, it's two or three. It's two or three, not ten. No, two or three gather in his name as touching anything. It shall be done. That's how powerful we are. That's how powerful we are. So, if Jesus said that at the resurrection, when it happened, no guest of heaven will prevail. And then you come up one day and say it's known to them, there are lots of questions that we need to answer. So the case is usually, I have a lawyer here, the case is usually two lawyers actually. One, when there are facts and evidence to satisfy the court. Am I right, the two lawyers? Is that true? It's very true. And the lawyer also. So if the way Christianity has been approached a lot of the time, it's mystical. We don't see the Bible legal. We just say, somehow God will do it. Somehow the Spirit will move. And when things don't happen, we usually say, I want to take it in Ghana. Mukama wa God. No, the resurrection is a fact. The people were seen when he rose from the dead. So there is a legal implication to that. Praise the Lord. So if the test is led to the one, then the fact, there have to be fact and evidence. Where are the facts? Where are the eyewitnesses? So, we want to look into that in the next coming week and raise this case. Because this case is where many, not just us who have already believed, even those who are yet to believe. That's why our hope is, praise the Lord. And where to start, this will be our test throughout. We will be revisiting them every week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verses 17. We'll come back and read more verses in the future, but for today, we are at verse 17. Are we there? And if Christ is not risen, hear me very well. There's a comma there. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. You see now how dangerous is that? If Christ is not risen, you know, we all get our faith in God. It is Peter. You are still in your sins. You're not going anywhere. So that means resurrection is very important. But a lot of us know more about the cross. We buy them and put them around our neck. But yeah, the cross, yes, but if it did not rise, the writer is saying, your faith is still there. You are still in your sin. You're still in prison. And there may not be a prison break anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Are we still here? Mm-hmm. Can I have the amplifier for that verse? Verse 17.
Verse 17 says, okay. And if Christ has not been raised, Your faith is mere delusion.
Oh, I like that.
This time, fruitless. And you are feeling your feelings under the control and pain of your feelings.
You see that? We are in a delusion. Verse 19. I'll read it. The King James and read it and amplify. Those will be our verses. If in this life only we have hope in Christ or in the resurrection, and it didn't happen, we are of all men the most pitiable. You are delusional, wearing back, you are in denial, miserable. Read the Amplified.
Amplified says, that's my dream. If we are abiding in Christ, have hope only in this life, and that is all, then we are of all people most miserable and defeated.
This is a very powerful statement. Do you know that someone tells you you wake up and you've been investing or saving money in the bank? After 20 years, like I've seen my wife is in it, there is a lot of money there. I want to inquire how. How? I can access that money legally without going through. But what if they you woke up and they told you that that money doesn't exist? It's not there. All your time they've been sending you these messages, you're getting excited. 65 blocks. Do you know how that some people die? Just imagine. There is no resurrection. How long have you been in salvation? Whatever one is being lied to. Some people need that. I said, me, I just said, no. No. They lied that. There's a woman who went to, those days when the last hour, true story here in Uganda. Last hour is when they are very long time. I don't know about these things. She went last hour. And says, the pastor says, even me last week, I sold my car, and before the week ended, I got two more cars. So the woman was scared out. And she went and sold a seed. The car wasn't even hers, it was her husband. So she gave her the car. Went back home, and the husband said, where is the car? Said, we did what? Sold the seed. Now what made it worse is that the week had passed and the car, or the cars had not been found. There was a police came and they got that car from the pastor. It was that bad. So that meaning that you just come and say, no, you told me 1 week. For you 1 week, you have gotten how many? Two. How come for me 1 week? And now the husband was also now, he said, I want my car. So you see that, I don't know whether she went back to, because it was a very famous story in town. I don't know whether she went back to that, but you can see that even that can cause someone not to come back to church. Now what about when you find out these are doomed stories? fabricated by wise people. You are of all men most I want you to use your imagination. Do you know how we gather around the meetings that we have, the people come every Sunday, the hope that they've built for the last 20 years, and you're telling me you've been joking? It's a lie. Was a lie. We are sorry. We didn't mean to hurt you. We didn't think to go this far. I wonder how we'll walk back to our home. I think many people will faint in the car park. So, oh my God, this is not happening to me. Now, the writer is saying, if all your hope and all your life was in this resurrection, and it didn't happen, you have all made most miserable. You need help. You need a psychiatrist to help you. Because you are about to have a nervous breakdown. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now Mark, it says, in this life only if we have hope. In this life. Because you are telling people Jesus is the only hope. Okay? So that means that a man would have gone somewhere and got that hope. But he told him to put all his eggs in one basket. And now you're trying to tell him the basket is empty. It's empty. Sorry, but it's empty. He says, you are a woman, most miserable. In Colossians chapter 1. I love Colossians. I love Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, we'll visit Colossians one day, but for today. He says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. Almost to known in the Greek, but the mystery doesn't mean mysterious. Mystery means it is there, but hidden, or covered, or not known. Among the Gentiles, which is, when does Christ become in you? But what made that available? Oh, okay, the resurrection, right? And then he adds on the hope of glory. So things have gotten a little wild here. Because he's saying Christ being in you is the hope. Not a hope, the hope. The only hope of glory. For any human being. Now, if that's the only hope for any human being, and he deems like, you are a wrong man, you are delusional, miserable. Praise the Lord. What does do from Greek study? If we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verses 17 where we were. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, you are yet in your sin. Okay? And then verse 19, if in this life only we have hope. Hope. Now, that word hope, write it down. Okay? Because we're going to use it a lot. It is C-L, a Greek word. C-L. E-L-T-I-Z-O. El Tizo. El Tizo, before I give you the definition, has, sometimes these Greek words have what you would call the root from where they're coming from. Okay? And amazingly, the meaning of El Tizo and the root where it comes from, they are the same. They mean the same thing. So let's go and read Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. And we find out what is that root word and what does it mean. Remember, we are laying the case for the resurrection. Now in verse 27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope. Okay. Now the word hope there, write it down, the Greek word, it's P-L-T-I-S. P-L-T-I-S. Now, both these words mean to have expectation. Or to anticipate, or to have confidence. I repeat, mean expectation, or to anticipate, or to have confidence. Meaning that the Christian life has its expectation and anticipation or confidence in the resurrection. Your hope is not in what is seen. Your hope shouldn't be in the activity of the church. Your hope shouldn't be in any promise given anywhere. The foundation of what makes Christianity very hopeful is the resurrection. If you are going to take God to court, and if we can take God to court, it would be about the resurrection. Nothing else. Because the resurrection is where everything is framed. And if it happens, then there is a legal right. Are we together? My confidence is in you. What are you talking about? That he cannot be here? He cannot overcome that depression? There is a legal. We can go back. I have the paper. So that's where your confidence is. That's where you know, sometimes they come to church with expectations. And this is thing, you warm up yourself, take a good bath, feel good. Come and be like, say nice things to you, or it will wear down. It will wear because it doesn't have a foundation. You will not, you will feel good, feel nice, put on perfume, and you find a note at your door. Red. So, all your confidence and all your hype comes down in a second. Or someone finds out he has COVID. All your confidence, all your future, you see it crumbling down in a second. Why? Because your hope has, your world has been shaken. But what this hope is saying, and that is what Jesus said in Matthew 16, your world cannot be shaken. the gates of hell cannot prevail. So that's why it says that this is our expectation. Our expectation has proof and evidence. Did you rise? If you want, that is my expectation. That is my confidence. That's where everyone as a believer, you should stand and let your fight that he will. Are we here? Are we here? We're here? So when we say be expectant, I'm not just saying be positive. No, know that there is a legal right to why you should be there. Know that there is a legal right to why you shouldn't stay in this situation. Know that there is a legal right why you should be here. Are we together? We are together? Romans chapter 4. These words, or both of the words, we're going to find them to use. I want to give you an example. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Let's go there. Romans chapter 4. Am I too fast? Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Who against hope? Talking about Abraham. The word there is what? Hope, but it's the Greek word. L? Not LT though. Yeah, LT. Who against hope believed in hope that he may become the father of what? Many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Which seed? Christ. So his expectation was that there would be a savior that would come and die for my people's sins and raise everyone from the dead. Are we here? Against all hope, he believed in hope that he may become, listen, Abraham became the father of nations because he had expectation in the resurrection. Are we together? Chapter 5 and verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith in this grace, wherein we what? Stand. And what? Rejoice. In what? In hope of what? Of the glory of God. Remember Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in you is the... So we rejoice. In other words, we stay in expectation regardless of the circumstances, because why are we rejoicing? He rose. Somehow, something is going to be done. Why? He rose. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Chapter 5, verses 41. This chapter 5? No. No, not that. No, leave that one. I think I wrote a wrong one. Go to chapter 8, verses 24. Up to 25. It says, for we are saved. Look, look, look. We are saved. By what? By hope. What's the word there? LP. Right? We are saved by this expectation. We are saved by hope. But hope, or expectation, or confidence, are you with me? That is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? 25. But if we have hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. 25.
It says, in this hope, we will say, that hope for object for which we see is not good. For how can one hope for what he already sees? But if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure.
Amen. Right. So our hope is not in what is. Our hope is in the resurrection. That's where our hope is. That's where our confidence. Remember, this is the foundation that all the other things have their validity. Chapter 4, verses 12. Romans. It's still in Romans. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in healthy. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in what? In prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Rejoicing in hope. Life doesn't hope because you are going through a hard time. Can I hear an amen? People stop coming to church. People stop giving. People stop praying. People stop fasting because I'm going through a hard time. Even God knows it. God knows one thing. I did something about it. I did something about it. That's why I always tell people, cry. Cry. It's necessary to cry. Even while on the ground. If you want, put that cross on yourself. Please go ahead. But once it's done, know that nothing has changed. You will have to stand up and begin to speak by faith into these circumstances. God is not moved by emotions. God is not moved by circumstances around you. God will be moved if you stand on the resurrection. So we see so many meetings filled with fear. I mean, yeah, fear, tears, sorrow, pity. In Uganda, sounds nice. And bagalo kubajiza. Wo wenze, izani, all those. Please, go tell them if you want to. But just know that at the end of it all, nothing will change. Amen? The devil is not going to come because you are sorrowful. Stop, because you are sorrowful. No. He knows one thing, that if the resurrection happens, he doesn't have a legal right. He will have to see. What does the Bible say? Resist, and you know what? His response has been determined and defined already. Resist, and you know what? So, you rejoice in hope. Why? Because you know this is temporary. Because you know he's not going to hold on for so long. After a while, again that's Peter. And I'll pass you. Hello? Kuvanga, you are not just shouting out of empty words. You have the foundation. This is our land. we have a title. However much you cry, however much you build in a building, you have to move because we are the ones who have the land title. You hear what I'm saying? We are the ones who have the evidence of ownership of this land. Praise the Lord. So even so, even us, we rejoice, we laugh, even before we see, even before we talk. Why? Because we know the outcome. You know the what?
The
outcome. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 23. We're still in this word hope and elsewhere where it's used in the Bible. Verses 23. I mean chapter 23, sorry. And verses 6. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he did what? He cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I am called in question." You see that? And when they had, and when he had said so, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees said that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confessed both. And they started tearing up one another. Because of the hope of what? Of the resurrection. Are we together? Acts chapter 26. See where this word is used. And verses 6. "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." There is a promise that was made by God to the father of the nation of the Jews. Verse 7. Are we there? "And to which promise our soul cried, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope is set. King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." What kind of hope is that? Verse 8. "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" So why was Paul brought in question? Because of the promise that God gave their father that there will be a resurrection. That's why I'm in question today. That's why I am in chains today. Do you realize that Paul was persecuted? Not because he stole, not because he destroyed a temple, no. He preached and proclaimed a resurrection. People today go in prison for what they are worth. This man was there. Not because he was a thief or leading a rebellious sect. No, he was there because he was proclaiming that Jesus rose from the dead. Not only that, that it was the promise given to their father. And they said, "No, you will not leave." And they persecuted him till he was put in prison. Now, I want you to mark that what put him there was the resurrection. That is why he was there. So if it was the resurrection, what means that there is something powerful about the resurrection that maybe you don't know? Because someone just preached the resurrection and he put him in prison, and he made sure that he goes to Caesar, then that means there is power that maybe you don't know. And that is in the resurrection for the believer. So you know? And lastly, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter
First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God has what? Begotten. As what? Begat us. Born anew. That word begotten. We are born anew. You see that you are also born through the resurrection. So if the resurrection is not true, so that's why you see you're saying your salvation is fake. Your confession is fake. Because it's through the resurrection that you are legally born by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. We are who begat us again unto a lively hope, expectation, confidence, and anticipation. So where is your confidence? Is your confidence in finding the antivirus? Is your confidence in getting a good job? Is your confidence in how well you're doing? Is your confidence in your family, your relatives? Is your confidence in how well you're positioned in life? Or is your confidence in your strength, in how you pray? Prayer is not bad. Or is your confidence in how you know the Bible? Or is your confidence in church attendance? Where is your expectation? Because all those things find their life in the resurrection. That means if you're very ignorant about the resurrection, then that figure left and right. Not because you're not born again, but you are ignorant. There's a scripture. I think it's in Proverbs. It's not in Proverbs, it's in Psalms. If you can remember it, you can bring it out. It says, I'll paraphrase it, but it says there is such a thing as a son walking and a servant being living in a home. That he's so ignorant, he's a son. For him is walking, but the servant is the one on the horse. You can be born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, coming to church constantly, but you're very ignorant of your legal right. You will be beaten thoroughly, and you go to heaven bleeding, and Jesus will have to wash away all the tears. Remember that he will wash away all the tears. But how many of us can really look back and say, I wish I knew it? Because even while we're praying, we didn't know why we are praying. We are just scared that it may not happen. But we are just scared of who don't know our legal rights. Given the devil too much power, go to an extent of finding out there's a demon for this, and there's a demon for this, and there's a demon for this, and who has that time? Who has it? But you know, things are done because of fear. You don't even know that you're scared. By the time you go and kill innocent people, randomly, a big man who has an army at his disposal, you're scared. A child scares you. So you can see that A lot of the times we react or respond as believers because we don't really know our legal rights. We don't even know what gives us the right to talk or to believe for certain things in our life. We think like everyone else. We think life will go like everyone else. And yet life will not go like everyone else. We are in this world, but not of this world. Remember, he called out his own, called the church, and made that emphatic statement, and the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Praise the Lord. So where is our expectation? Where is our hope? Where is our confidence? Where is our anticipation? Is our hope on this rock, like we sing the song usually? On Christ the Holy Rock, no other ground can stand. On other ground. Do you know what you are singing before? On Christ, the rock I stand, other ground is sinking sand. On other ground. You say that Christ is. The resurrection is, yeah, or other ground. But we sing this song signally. There are so many resurrection songs we sing. He is risen, that's the tema. He is risen. What I remember about all that song is lifting up here. Yeah, come on and celebrate. Yeah, but you know that song is powerful because it says we are celebrating because of. Praise the Lord. Yes. Yeah. Let's do our scripture. It's in what?
It's
Ecclesiastes 10. Verse what?
Verse 7.
Please read it.
Christ says, there is one evil which I have seen under the sun.
Okay.
I can't tell if it proceeds from the ruler. For he is set in great dignity and in high places and then sit in hope. Verse 7. It is just the same verse 7. I have seen slaves on horses and children.
Have you had that? Can we read that again?
I have seen slaves on horses and princes walking like slaves on the earth.
What? What does that mean?
I have seen slaves on horses,
while
princes go on foot like slaves.
Haven't you had that we're really a Christian? A holy nation. Walking on what? On foot. Like slaves. Why? Because we don't have the knowledge to exercise our authority. We think that speaking in tongues and the spirit is just for people falling down in trap. No. The resurrection is the legal right for our functioning. We function by that legal right. Amen? Amen? That is our hope. That is our expectation. All together, so far. Now, if that is true, we want to find out. The very first thing is that what did the prophet prophesy about it? Alright? What did the prophet prophesy about it, and we want to quickly go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. What did the prophet prophesy about it? Because he's seen, I think, in one of the, I think it's Amos, if I can remember very well, if it's not Amos, it's one of those minor prophets, he says that God will do nothing except he reveals this what? God will do what?
Nothing.
What is that? How much what? How much seven verses? Can you find that so that you don't think I'm? Okay, read it loudly.
So the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets.
Do you know that that is emphatically right? There is nothing in the Bible that God has done and has not revealed it first to the prophet. God takes the Bible. Every event that Jesus did, whether birth, whether resurrection, whether life, it was first revealed to the prophet. A virgin shall be with child. Where do we find that? In Isaiah. God will raise up a prophet among you, him you will hear. It's in the first book of the Bible, Moses. So we want to find out if this is the foundation. Did the prophet say anything about it? Because, like we always say, and we've had Pastor Kevin say so many times, we are silent where the Bible is what? Loud where the Bible is what? So, we want to find out. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired. In other words, investigate. The prophets have investigated. That word, the Greek word inquire, would also mean to investigate. And you know, to investigate something takes time. Have investigated and search diligently. Search what? Search diligently. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you? Who prophesied of the gift or of the grace? Because salvation is a gift. Salvation is by grace. So the prophet prophesied. Is it wrong? Verse 11. Starting. The word fasting there would also mean to investigate, but even more to examine into. To do what? To examine into. And I would want to appeal to every one of you. Investigate. Investigate this thing. Examine this thing. Praise the Lord. Don't just read, you lay hands on the sick. And it shall be here. And leave it there. Examine it. Investigate it. Take it to the lab. You know our lab? Kande brokosata. Rende dakate cerebra. As you're speaking, tongues. The Bible says you are speaking the wisdom. I learned this when I was at my former church. Anytime I was stuck. And I use it very frequently. When I was a choir leader once upon a time. I never go to school. They just put me there because I was invited. So you are there, the song is not working out, time has run out, and I'll learn black acid to la banda, read it back. Sometimes it just be slow. And then all of a sudden, I just tell the guy, that beat is wrong. I've never done music. I actually don't even want to go and study music. But I read the choir. For a very long time, I led people who have gone to study music. But I remember so vividly that many times I would be stuck. And I would just say, and as you're praying, I'll say, remove that harmony, put this harmony, and then it will sound nicely. You are seeking the wisdom of God. Alright? So you examine. You investigate. You're reading the scriptures and something pops up. Don't leave it there. Don't leave it there. Investigate. Find out in the whole Bible. Go in the scriptures. Is this really true? If it's true, then it's mine. Hello? If it's true, then it's mine. If it's in Christ, then it's mine. Amen? Like we always say, that anything you don't find in God, that means God cannot do. Those things God kills people. Did you find it in Christ? No. He's not the one that kills them. Who kills them? And the pastor says, the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord walked around in Egypt and killed every male child. So God was protecting himself from himself. That's a mistake. Remember God said, go put the blood on the door? So God is coming against himself. And also God is, it sounds even to an intellectual. That is not true. How do you protect yourself from yourself? How do you scare your children and then protect them from yourself? Doesn't sound right. So who? Who killed them? Don't just leave it there. Who killed them? Because the answers are there. Praise the Lord. Because many of them, the God of the Old Testament, they even touch their head. We thank God for Jesus. He intercepted. But what did Jesus say? I do nothing. The Son does nothing unless you have seen what the Father does. I did not save myself. Did God send another sniper? So you find those things in the Bible and you investigate. Don't leave them there. You examine. What does it mean? Then if you did kill them, then who killed them? If the Bible says that you are not under the law, then who gave the law? Did God give the law? Then can we choose? If then we choose, then it's not consistent, because someday you will what? Remove this grace. Because if you did it before, Israel will tell us, if it has happened before, it will happen before. So you are. Because you may change. So that's what it means to investigate. Examine these things. So the prophets, the Bible says, they investigated and they examined these things. By the way, when we come to church, it's really cool. Amen? Why is Bible? Bible, why is Bible? Bible, let the Spirit lead. That's how we fell into trouble many times. There you go. Fasting, what manner of time? I mean, that's 11, alright? What manner of time? The Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand, number one, the sufferings of what? Christ. And the glory that should follow. What is that? And if you continue, in verse 12, it says, unto whom it was revealed, that was meaning to uncover or to lay open, the Greek word. To uncover or to lay open or to disclose. So unto them it was disclosed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with what? With the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. Which things? The angel, desire, listen to the covet, or the covet, to what? To look into the things. Which, by the way, in other words, we should also tell you about this, is that angels are learning God by watching the universe. There is a study of angels will come in the middle of the year. I just wanted to throw it out there. Alright? Don't fall. Don't be shocked yet. But angels learn God by watching the church. And there are scriptures all over. And the Bible says in Hebrews that angels are ministering, they are waiters, they are actors, they are ministering spirits, sent to minister to those that what have inherited salvation. So, angels will only work if you tell them what to do. They will be idle and dormant if you don't tell them what to do. They are having a wedding coming up in a few months' time. They will only do what you tell them to do. But if you keep quiet, they'll be dormant. But they are around. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the prophets prophesy of the glory of the suffering of Christ and what? The glory that will follow. What did we say? Christ in you is the hope of glory. So they knew that. They saw that. And they said it. In Hebrews chapter 11, we are looking at the prophets and what they say. Am I too fast? Hebrews 11 and verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten. Mark those words. Offered up his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave only begotten son. Of whom, verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Counting or reckoning. The Greek word there, counting or reckoning, means to put to put the account on someone. Like the Bible says that, reckon yourself dead. See yourself. Know that in Christ, while he was from the dead, you also. So see yourself also. Reason. Amen? So it's saying, counting that God was able to raise him up. Even from the what? Come on, even from the what?
From the dead.
From whence also he received them in a figure. Question. Did Isaac die?
No.
So, who came back to life? But it was Isaac on the altar. So that means the story wasn't really about Isaac. If you go to the Greek word in the figure, that Greek word, this Greek word that I'm going to give you, they are very important because they will mean it's T-A-R T-A-R are you there? T-A-R A B O L E, para, meaning parable. So, meaning this old story we are trying to tell in Hebrews chapter 11 is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and not Isaac. So, Abraham prophesied about in the promise the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Parables usually have or they are saying, especially in the Bible, they really sometimes, not really sometimes, but usually have a spiritual implication behind them. The kingdom of God is like a seed that the sower went around. So he's telling a story to bring out a spiritual implication, which is called a parable. So while you're reading the account in Hebrews 11, you're like, but wait a minute, Isaac did not die. Remember, it is a man. So who is he talking about? Remember the man, the Ethiopian eunuch, was walking and reading Isaac. He says, but whom does the writer say? And then Philip came, and the Bible says Philip started preaching to him Jesus. Pala. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we see Abraham declaring the resurrection in the act of putting his son. And the angel came out and said, now I know that you love me because you have not withheld your only and only son from me. Question, was that his only son? Yeah, this man. Parable. You investigate this thing and examine this thing. Praise the Lord, he had what? He had what? Why are you laughing? Hebrews 11:35. Are we together so far? 35. Hebrews 11:35. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Can I hear an amen from the women? We want to see some dead people rising up. And others were preferred, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain, listen, a better resurrection. In other words, the Greek word means that the better, it means a more useful, a more serviceable, a more excellent resurrection. They couldn't give him. Why? They were looking for a better resurrection. Are we together? Come on, are we together? We're telling us what the prophet said. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1. Can we go just back a little bit? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Verse 1 says, for the law, having a shadow, everyone says shadow. What is a shadow? Yeah, if you see the shadow of the lion, what do you think is coming next? Don't even find out. Please! What a nice picture. In this door of the night, no. Please. So, the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with the sacrifice which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once passed should have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices there was a remembrance again made of what? Sin every year. That's why it was done annually. Can you imagine? So it is not possible. It is not possible. It is powerless. So this word means they are powerless. It is not possible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take our sins. So you see, even Moses knew about the resurrection. Because Moses is the one who gave the law. But he preached resurrection. And they refused resurrection. And then he gave them the law. We're talking about what the prophet prophesied. Okay? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Are we there? Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Whom God has raised up, having looked the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Did you realize that most of the scriptures we are reading, when they talk about the resurrection, they're talking about death? Have you realized? Why do you think that is? Because the curse was death. The curse is not poverty. Look at me, look at me. It is not poverty. The mother curse. Or war. Jesus died to do what? From what? What is the curse of sin? The gift of God is what? But then, where they go? Is what? Is death. So that's why the resurrection is very significant. Alright? So we are reading here that we are now. Having used the kind of death because it was not possible that it could be what? Holden of it. For David, now we have another prophet there. For David, speaketh concerning him, I foresaw. What did I do? To see before. The Greek word there says, to see before. To behold in advance. Are we here? I foresaw the Lord where? Always. Are we together? Before my face, for it is on my right hand that I should not be moved. You see that? Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. You see that hope again? Expectation, confidence. Because you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. So poverty, lack of bread and butter, it is not anywhere compared to being delivered from death. Corruption. The Greek word for corruption is destruction. Can I give it to you? D-I-A-T-S-T-H-O-R-A-N. D-I-A-T-S-T-H-O-R-A-N. Corruption is destruction. That word there. That he will thy holy one to see what? Let's continue reading. Verse 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of what? The ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of what? Joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is what? Both dead and barren. And his culture is with us unto this day. Therefore be well. I love the Bible for being consistent. And knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his life, according to the flesh, incarnation, remember on Wednesday, he would what? Raise up Christ to sit on his throne. 31. He is. He, seeing this before, spoke of the of who? That his soul was not left, neither his flesh. That was one of the prophets. And they all did what? Prophesied. They all did what? Prophesied about the resurrection of Christ. Not Muhammad, not Mary Magdalene, not Lazarus, not Buddha, but the resurrection of Christ. Not just one prophet, but almost all the prophets. Four or so. And prophesied. Praise the Lord. Now, as we move ahead, we want to find out what did the apostles and the first church did. We've seen what the prophets prophesied. Now, what did the first church and the first apostles preach? Remember, we're coming from the idea and presenting our case is that did this resurrection happen? So we want to find out from all the scriptures whether actually we have facts and evidence. Because someone has come up and said it did happen. So you're not going to just say, we are in the spirit, we are in the spirit. For us, we're in the spirit. Somehow in the spirit, there is a realm. Explain that realm. No, for us when we start speaking in tongues, something happens. Sometimes, you know, you feel good. Sometimes people fall. Explain that fact. I remember one time I was in a taxi and someone asked a question. Explain that salvation. I said, but you people, because you're not born again, the guy just said, explain. Because he was preaching in a taxi. He said, you explain that salvation. He said, but you don't need to no, you explain. If you're saying it gives life. Yes, you're saying it gives life. To whom? How does it give life? You know, on Sunday, you come to my church. No. You are the one who talk to me, not your pastor. Explain to me how that life changes my life. You have to present the fact. So, you know? Are we here? Alright. See that pastor? Acts chapter 2. Verse 22. They are building the case. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you. Ye yourselves know. Are we still together? Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. 24. Whom God has raised and have looked because it was not that he would be. You see that? First, come on. See a poor attacker. Get up in steam to find out who the brother of Goliath was. No. First, come on. First. You reign. First summon. And they always say to learn a subject in the Bible, you have to go with the law of first mention. What are we teaching today? Let's go back to the very first summon. What was the content of the first summon? Can we go back? Whom God has raised up, having risen the times of death. Because it was not possible that he would not behold them of it. I said, but no, we have to go out. If we don't give people clothes, if we don't give people bread, eggs, they may never know the gospel. Yes, the gospel is good, but you still have to first feed them. Okay, let's go to the first sermon. Let's go to the what? when they had the first sermon, what was their response? Do we see that happen in our churches today? Absolutely not. Let's go to their response, right? How did they respond when they had this? How? What happened when they had this word? I was seeing chapter 2, but to go over in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and what? And Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cast to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you do what? Come on, finish it for me. Do what? Be baptized. Is that the name for the promise? They were cut to the heart. What was he telling them? That Jesus rose from the dead. He is the hope, remember? He is the hope. And they found hope. And they said, what man? Have you ever seen maybe a teacher and a teacher, and suddenly a student gets and raises up their hand? That is what is happening here. For us today, first of all, they are so full of the tea you have given them in the morning. They are slumbering, and they are sitting on big bags. First summer. People are asking, what can we do? They produce hope. So much hope of the Bible says, how many God saved that day? 3,000 people had the first sermon about the resurrection, and they said, we must give our lives to God. That is what gives hope. Don't you have a small testimony that you go to 100 by 60? No. You know, I go 4 by 4. I used to be on 2 by 2. No. So getting married, thank God. After you do that, continue serving God. Because everyone gets married. Everyone is getting married. Even which doctors are getting married. So what's the difference? Praise the Lord. What did they say? What did they say? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, have not with the excellency of speech, all of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything, zero, among you, save Jesus and him crucified. Do you see that? Do you see that? Chapter 1 and verses 7, 1 Corinthians, alright? Chapter 1 and verses 23 and 24. Let's go there. But we proclaim Christ, or preach Christ, crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, or a scandal. And to the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. See, 24. But unto them which are called, both Greeks and Jews, Christ is the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Christ is not a power of God or a wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God. He is the wisdom of God. So that means that as you're born again, the wisdom of God is inside of you. Wisdom is not just a thing. Correction is the pattern. The power is not just a thing, it is a pattern. Praise the Lord. Christ has become. Why do you say you don't have wisdom? Why do you say you're stuck? Christ inside of you lays wisdom. No, that's why they told you last faith. That's why you're struggling. You're trying to get faith. You're trying to get... No, Christ is the faith. Praise the Lord. There's so much to this thing. Let me not get far back right now. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Have you ever been witnessing to someone that says a pastor? Now let's talk about the reality. Let's talk about the reality. I know Christ was from the dead, but let's talk about reality. We are talking about reality. Let's be real. Let's be real, pastor. Verse 18. Then certain philosophers and Epicureans and they encountered him and some said, what would this babbler say? Other, some, he seems to be a center for of strange God because he preached unto Jesus and the what? And the resurrection. Okay, what did they preach? 23, verse 23. Go away. Back and go to 23. For as I passed by and behold your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorant in what? Worship him. Ignorant in what? Declare I. And to? 32. Go all the way down. Go all the way down. And when they had had one of the what? Some mock, another say, we will hear you again of this matter. But what did they say? The resurrection. How many times have you come to church and you heard the message of the resurrection? No wonder we go back home and keep calling to a demo now. Because it's a whole story. Just like everywhere else, outside, that you can have, or you can hear from a business seminar, that you can hear on a political rally. But this is what gives men hope. This is what brings the hope of glory. Because you're giving someone eternal hope. You're giving someone expectation that cannot be tempered with. You're giving someone confidence that cannot be moved. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Are we together? That is what they preach. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. This is all evidence that we are picking up. Why are there so many scriptures? It's because they've gone so many trials. That's a joke. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of what? Of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And great grace was upon them all. All of them. Why? Because they were preaching the anticipation, they were preaching the confidence of the resurrection. And good grace. And good grace. Do you know that when you start taking the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you begin to awaken the power of God. You begin to invoke the grace of God. Have you ever seen what witch doctors do, or sometimes those people who do yoga? La 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 Get off the ground. Gravitate. The resurrection is the key. You start talking about the resurrection. After the Bible says, when Jesus went down, all those that I believe of the promise, didn't say. Boom! The grave opened. And the Bible says, they saw them walking on the sea. I don't know how would that happen if you saw your uncle passing by. You see how dangerous, you see that it's not how we're talking about, it's a person in this head, and all those who have believed, boom, came up. And walked on earth, and they said, the Bible says, many saw them in the city, doing what? Shopping. So that they can go. That's how powerful it is. You can't preach the resurrection and the dead stay in their house. You can't preach the resurrection and someone's life doesn't come up. You can't preach the resurrection and the blood doesn't start pumping the veins. You can't preach the resurrection and people's eyes don't open up. You can't preach the resurrection, you yourself, and you stay in your normal state. Something supernatural begins to happen from within. Hope that cannot be touched. Joy that is irresistible. You begin to operate as Christ operated here on earth. Why? Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. You can't take resurrection to someone who is defeated and they don't stay. They have to. Why? Jesus said the death of hell. How do you see the resurrection and someone does not change? It is impossible. Unless you have not fixed the resurrection. Are we here? Come on, are we here? Now, moving on, as we go towards the end, we want to find out what did Jesus say. Most importantly, the prophet talked about it. The apostles speak from the prophets. What did Jesus say? Right? What did he say? What did he say about the resurrection? In John chapter 1 and verse 17. John chapter 1 and verse 17. See the power of tea? Rather making you one. I think I quoted that, and I think it's chapter 11. Try chapter 11. Verse 17. Okay. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had been laid in the grave, how many days? Already. How many days?
4 days.
4 days already dead. Now Bethany was nine to Jerusalem, about 15 miles off. So Jesus is told that his son Lazarus is what? Dead. In verse 20. The Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not had died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou will ask of God, God will give it you. Alright, she's somehow on track. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto her, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's going back right now. Alright? Jesus said unto her, this is why he spoiled everything. I am the resurrection. So we're not just talking about the resurrection. Hey, I'm the resurrection. And the last, he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever is and believeth in me shall never die. Believe. Do you believe in me? So Jesus told everything here. He says, now I am the resurrection. Not just the expectation of something you're going to get, but I'm the resurrection. Meaning, if I am here, nothing will die. That's why anybody who has received Jesus Christ, Jesus said, even though you sleep, you will live again. You know, people who believe don't die. Mm-hmm. You know that in the New, when Jesus said, they started saying, he has slept, not he has died. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you can't have God living in you and die. God is eternal. So that means you've received eternal life. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, we want to see what Jesus said about the resurrection of I am. It has come. It was talked about, but now it is here in happen. Mm-hmm. Amen? Are we here? Mm-hmm. Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Wait. Let's go to verses 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered and saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Show us. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now 41, okay? 41. Then men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of what? Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. So the message of the promise in Jonah was believed and people repented. The greater than Jonah is here. Nineveh repented when a promise of the resurrection was given to them. This generation has, and you have not repented. What's wrong with you? Are we still together? John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign the Jews do you like sign? Showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things, to lage, show us power. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. See how come they are in verse 20. Then they say, the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and will thou raise it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they what? And they believed. The what? The scriptures. Which scriptures? The Old Testament. And the word which Jesus had said. Amen. John chapter 11 and verses 20 and 26. Did we read that? We finished that, right? So now you see what Jesus talked about the resurrection. He took it to another level and said, it's not just a thing to look forward to. I am. Remember Colossians 27? Christ in you. The hope of the resurrection is not a power that happens. Actually, it is a person that happens. And that person is living in everyone that believes. Remember what he told Martha and Mary? If you will believe, I am the resurrection. If you will believe, your brother can rise now. Because I am. I am. Now, better still, Jesus would be in one place at a time physically, but now, he has limitless access in whoever will believe in him. He has become the resurrection, the power, the wisdom of God. So, why do you say you are forgotten? For life is meaningless. Or have lost interest when you have Christ in you. The hope. Where is your hope? Where is your expectation? Now, before we end, we cannot end without looking at the cry and the request of the rich man. In Luke chapter 16, have you realized that all the stories we've read were pointing to the resurrection? And in verse 16, are we there? Luke 16, sorry, verses 19. He says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple with fine linen and fared continuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into where? Abraham is bosom. And the rich man also what? Died and was what? Buried. Where? And in hell. He lifted up his what? His eyes, being in torment. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And said who? Lazarus. That he may what? Dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now is comforted, and thou art what? Tormented. And besides, all this between us and you, there is a great gap. See? Alright? I think the Donald Trump read the scripture. A great gap. So that they who should pass from here, that man is a man of faith. From here to you cannot neither pass to us that they would come from here. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them. Listen, they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham said unto them, they have Moses. What is that talking about? Come on, they have Moses. Number one. And what? Let them hear him. Okay? Let them do what? Why do we get another instance like this in Luke chapter 24? Okay? Luke chapter, remember there's a case. By the time you leave here in this introduction, there shouldn't be any doubt in your head about the resurrection. You should be fully convinced in Luke 24 and verses 35. He says, "And then he said to them, all Philistines and flow as well." So the question here, or the problem here, is the believing part. In all that work, the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Remember, the prophets did what? Inquired, investigated. In what time these things would happen? The suffering and the glory of that will follow. Suffer these things and to enter his glory. Remember, Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the world, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in the scriptures. What are the scriptures? The Old Testament, the things concerning himself. Are we together? Ask the last chapter. And that chapter is 28. Chapter 28 and verse 22. But we desire to hear from you. What do you think? For concerning this text, they call it a text. We know that it's spoken against everywhere. So when they had appointed him again, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained Solomon testifying of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from the what? From the law of Moses and what? And the prophets from morning till evening. You may stay here. Huh? Provided the what? They did. Okay? So, verse 29. Abraham said unto them, they have Moses and the prophet. Let them hear them. And he said, my father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, what are we talking about? They will return. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The Greek word persuade there would mean to trust, remember, or to have confidence. Okay? So what is Abraham saying? Abraham is saying, if they cannot believe in the promise of the resurrection, they cannot believe in the reality of the resurrection. I like that. So if we have failed to believe in the promise of what the prophet said, because the Bible says, if you can go to Hebrews, back in Hebrews. If you can go back to Hebrews, I don't know whether I'm going ahead of myself. I'm there. Hebrews 11, I'll put the finger there in verse 13 and verse 14. So, why is this very significant? This is very significant because the only hope the Old Testament believer had was the promise of the resurrection. That's why they did and they moved. Abraham moved to put his son on the altar because he saw. Praise the Lord. The only reality of the New Testament believers is the indwelling of the Spirit of Christ. We see the resurrection of Christ. So for them, the hope was in the promise. So now you see why Abraham is saying there was a hope presented to you. Because the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 that Abraham believed, the gospel was preached unto him, and what? And he believed. And all those who believe are what? Sons of Abraham. So that's why it's significant. Because for them they have the promise and they move. We have the reality and we are not moving. Every time we come to a gathering like this, something supernatural should be happening. Praise the Lord. This is a gathering where you are sure any time, any day, you can bring someone and they will get hurt. I like me. You know where I'm out to bring people. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 11, where I told you to put your finger, and verses 13, I want to show you how these guys moved when they saw the promise. What was their response when they had the message as a promise? You know when someone comes to say, I am going to buy you a shoe. You start what? To imagine. You start to get prepared. You get excited. Why? They have promised the shoe. You even buy socks if you do not have one. That is expectation. Why someone gave you a promise that they're going to buy one? She said, never put that. But he has what? Given you a promise. Now, this is what the Bible says in verse, chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in what? In faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were what? Strangers. And what? Pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things, declare plainly that they seek a better homeland. They are not wasting time with physical stuff. They had opportunities to have them. But because of the promise, they leave this world as though they were strangers. For us, we are leaving to stay, to occupy, to buy more land. This is not the promise. Praise the Lord. And that's why sometimes when you come to church, it looks like a dead friend. Because the hope is not in the things. The hope is in the resurrection. Praise the Lord. So, that's how they live their lives. And then in verse 39, still Hebrews, it says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony, as a promise here, through faith, and not receive the promise. God having provided something what? Better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Apart from us, the promise went out, but they were going to be made perfect when it has become a reality. That's why in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2, this is what the Bible says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of us, says, who for the joy, remember, hope, joy, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and what? Has sat down at the right. Come on, otherwise. So that the believer may do what? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. What does that mean, sitting at the right hand of God? I'll start from verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together, number one. We were dead in trespasses. This is what the resurrection does. He made us alive. He made us alive. We were dead. We were dead. We were dead. Last time I saw dead people are dead. But we were dead spiritually. And did what? The resurrection made us alive. Together with who? With Christ Jesus. So once he died, we who were dead were made alive. We were together. Praise the Lord. We were made what? Alive together. Right? With Christ. By grace, we were what? Yourself, basket, and what? Raised us up together, number two. We were made alive, okay? Don't talk of the dead. Don't talk of the barrier. We were raised. You didn't stay there. That's why in that chapter, Romans chapter 6, it says, reckon yourself, reckon yourself, reckon yourself alive unto God. See yourself. Count yourself. Amen? Count yourself. Count yourself. He went. He did what? Raised us up together and made us sit together. Where? In the heavenly places. Where? In Christ. You ask me, how am I in heaven and yet I am here physically? How is that possible? Have you ever thought about that, or you just confess it? It's the same question that they ask. If you say God, okay, if you said Jesus was God here on earth, who was sitting in heaven? If you say God was, Jesus was God. Now, me and Yahweh Muguru, making sure, I'm just John. John 3. Verse 11. Most of what I say unto you, we speak what we know, and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you certain things, and you do not believe, how will you believe? He's telling Nicodemus, if I tell you heavenly things, verse 13, he says, no one has ascended to heaven, but you came down from heaven. That is he, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Did you get that?
I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, we speak only what we know. We know absolutely what we are talking about. We have actually seen what we are testifying to. We are eyewitnesses. And still we do not receive our testimony. We reject and refuse our evidence that you that of myself and of all those who are born of the Spirit. So, if I have told you of things that happen right here on earth, and yet none of you believe me, how can you believe, trust me, as here to me, lie in me, if I tell you of heavenly things? That means, and yet, no one has ever gone up to heaven, but there is one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man, himself. Who is, dwells, has his home in heaven.
When do I go? My name is Gandhi.
This is the list of God.
So how do you sit in heaven places? Namu te dikula wako kati. We need facts. Remember, we need evidence. We need facts. John chapter 14. And verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home. And make our
home with him.
And make our home with him. So, we are in heaven. at the same time here, how?
Same
way. What happened? The resurrection. Who is the resurrection? I am the resurrection. Where is he? Did he go? Where is he? So, the resurrection made it legal for us to sit in heaven together with him. That's why he says, whatever you bind on earth, you will be bound in it. It is criminal. It is illegal. It's insulting to say there are principalities that we're trying to remove up there. And yet he has told you are above principalities. You are seated in heavenly places. You are reigning right now. How dare you insult the spirit of the resurrection? That there are principalities, we need to bind them, send you that says, demons that are in your prayer. Did you read this scripture? He said, we are seated. You know what seated means? Seated. In the Old Testament, the priest used to move around daily, because the Bible says there was no seat. There was no seat there. Practical. But the Bible says in the day we are living, we are seated. Meaning we have rested. Meaning we are not trying to get victory. Meaning we already have victory. Why? The resurrection. So the evangelist to start saying that we're doing people mapping I hear, the skies are to break. What about this picture? You are seated together with him. In where? In heavenly places. What are you doing? What are you doing here? Binding whatever will be bound on earth and losing whatever will be bound on earth. That was God's original plan. Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth together. Heaven and earth. The one who came from earth is the one who is here. And the one who is here is the one who is up. No one has gone to heaven. Except. So he's seated in us and heaven is in us. So we don't pray as people who are trying to get refuge. We pray as people who have already received refuge. One, we are seated. That's the legal. The legal. So to end that, we go to Romans chapter 4. And we will end from there. Romans chapter 4. Somebody say hallelujah. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. He says, who has delivered us because of our offenses. You see that? Romans 4:25. He was delivered up because of our offenses. And he was raised because of our justification. Justification would mean to be acquitted. That justification is a legal word, right? Legal term. Meaning to be treated as if it never happened. Meaning that the resurrection, once you believe, you are treated as if your past never existed. Remember, that's why we say, without the resurrection, the doctrines of the Bible and the new creation don't make sense. But because it happened, then the Bible is true, because it says, whoever is in Christ, has become a new creature. Something that has never existed before. The past is happy. Why? Because now you have the life of God. He was delivered up for our offenses. He was raised up that we may be justified. That we can now say, I am the righteousness of God. By whose authority? By the resurrection. See, in our places. prepared. So these ignorant prayers that we've been doing, you can't enter. How do you feel? How do you feel when you have finally got the shoe? And then someone is trying to pray for that shoe again. You feel insulted? No. The shoe is God. The next thing would be the shoe. Give thanksgiving. That's how you honor. That's how you appreciate the one who has given the gift. By receiving it and by giving thanks. The indwelling is already here. How do we appropriate what God has given us and use it to the maximum by believing that it really happened? Not only that, by giving him thanks, because we know, because of that, we have the legal right of walking in victory every other day in life. Remember, the prophet said before us all that he will not say, because it was impossible. So if you have the promise and you have the reality, come believe the promise, and there are the reality is meaningless. Could it be that we are having meaningless meetings and people who are hopeless, helpless, because they don't understand their legal rights? They still think some stuff out there, some misfortunes out there, chasing them. No. They just ignore it. Find out your right. Find out who you are. And stand your ground. Praise the Lord.